Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
It might seem crazy. Have you been on Facebook? Have you watched any of the hearings? James Comey? I felt like I was 11 years old watching the Watergate hearings. The senators, I got to tell you, I thought the senators were pretty good. I missed the old ones, though. Senator Gurney and Montoya and Talmadge and Baker. But we had new ones now, and they were pretty good, I thought.
Good characters, yeah.
Did you watch any of it? You probably much of a life to watch that. But, yeah, I was... A rare day when I didn't have to teach. I had some time. I watched it. And it was amazing. Comey has an amazing memory. He remembers things. He's got like a photographic mind. But he wrote down the conversations with President Trump on the handful of occasions they met. And a few phone conversations. He wasn't as detailed. But... he wanted to make sure that he wrote it down so if it came back, he would have a record of it. And Comey said he'd served under President Bush, President Obama, and didn't do that with them. Mm. He didn't write down the information. He didn't feel he had to. So the ranking member, meaning the Democrat on the Republican Majority Committee, the Intelligence Committee, asked Comey why, and this was after a meeting in the White House, why he felt like he had a, or no, actually it was after a meeting, I think, at Trump Tower in early January, why he felt he had to write it down with Donald Trump. Here's Comey.
What was it about that meeting that led you to determine that you needed to start putting down a written record?
A combination of things. I think the circumstances, the subject matter, and the person I was interacting with. Circumstances first, I was alone with the President of the United States, or the President-elect, soon to be President. The subject matter, I was talking about matters that touch on the FBI's core responsibility and that relate to the President, President-elect, personally. And then the nature of the person. I was honestly concerned that he might lie about the nature of our meeting, and so I thought it really important to document. That combination of things I'd never experienced before, but it led me to believe I got to write it down, and I got to write it down in a very detailed way.
The nature of the person... I thought he would lie about our meeting, which seems to back up. See, I think Trump fired him because Trump watched him at the previous hearing where he said, I had a queasy feeling or I was somewhat nauseated or whatever he said. I think it was queasy, that I might have influenced the election,
yeah.
Which told me he was feeling nauseated because he helped elect Trump. And I think Trump saw that and said, you're out. That's it. Done Screw deal. You, yeah. Right? Because he's saying I felt queasy or I felt nauseous or whatever he said then.
Yeah, uneasy or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw that. And, of course, knowing dysfunctional people in my life, being a dysfunctional person myself, being an emotional person who's never really matured, I thought, oh, that's, Trump's going to, that'll make Trump mad, mm-hmm. Which, of course, I think it did. And Trump, something set Trump off. Because there had been numerous meetings, even before that, recently before that, where he said, you're doing a good job and keep up the good work. Yeah. So it had to be something that set him off. I think that's why he fired him, because he said, I feel queasy about influencing the selection, meaning queasy about electing Trump. I think it was too much for Trump. Yeah. So he's on there today. Well, I didn't trust Trump. So he's making the nature of the person.
Yeah.
Meaning a lying, carnival-barking slime ball. And, of course, when you talk to a lying, carnival-barking slime ball, you got to write it down.
I have a record, huh?
I don't write down things from Cheryl Mills or Hillary Clinton when you had them under deposition for hours. Don't write down things with Loretta Lynch. He actually said, too, during the course of the testimony, here's what I wonder, and you can weigh in on this if you'd like. The Mitch Hanks Show, 210-1667, 210-1667. He said that during the email investigation of Hillary Clinton when Loretta Lynch was AG. They had an investigation going, a criminal investigation going, and Lynch said, don't call it investigation, call it a matter. And Comey said, why? And she, I don't think that would be it. Just call it a matter and not investigation. That's what he said under oath. Because the Hillary campaign was calling it a matter.
A matter, yeah.
To kind of minimize it, you know. It's sort of like Trump fans during the campaign when the sex tape came out, the audio tape. And it was 15 years ago. And people said, how many years ago was that? Or no, it was 11 years ago. People said, how, was that 15 years ago? No, it was 11. See, people always pad the years up or down to minimize or maximize the point, right? So, you know, but he said, yeah, so I said, he admitted he used the word matter. You know, he didn't, well, but then he said, you know, he was so appalled by Bill Clinton meeting on the tarmac, he had to come out and go his own way and say that, you know, she had done this and this and this, but decided not to press charges in July of last year. But you know what? It wasn't for that Loretta Lynch meeting with Bill Clinton. He wouldn't have done anything, probably, it sounded like today. So, I mean, that was a revelation. I had not heard that about the matter bit. In terms of Trump, he just said Trump called him in, no, to dinner. And the Trump asked Attorney General Sessions and Senior Advisor Kushner to get out of the, leave the room. I'm going to talk to Comey alone. And then Trump alleges, I need loyalty. I need loyalty. And I hope this Flynn thing can go away. I hope that you can let that go. He's a good guy. You know, Trump's sitting there talking like it's the, you know, the men's room at the Friars Club, you know. Comey's going, ugh. So Comey just says, well, you'll have my honest loyalty, or, you know, whatever he said. Didn't say much. And they asked him, why you didn't say, Mr. President, that's inappropriate. I'm independent. No, this is an inappropriate conversation. He goes, good question, but I was so stunned by the meeting. He didn't say anything. And then he didn't, and they said, did you feel like that was a directive? Meaning, drop it. Drop the investigation, even though Trump said, according to Comey, I hope. Yeah. I hope this goes away.
Doesn't sound like a directive still.
Well, I mean, in terms of the wording, right? So, I mean, and then they said, well, how many people in your experience have been indicted by hoping something? Yeah. And he said, nobody in my mind. So, but Comey thought, well, I know what he meant. I felt it was a directive. And, of course, I didn't comply, but I felt it was a directive. Now, Alan Dershowitz, who's a Harvard Law professor extraordinaire, worked on the OJ case, been around for years. He says, well, the president can do whatever he wants. He can tell the attorney general, the FBI director, do this, do that, investigate him or her, or do whatever they want. And we'll play that shortly. But they said, well, what about obstruction of justice? He goes, well, the Nixon case where he was, that was one of the articles of impeachment being drawn up, was obstruction of justice because he told the CIA to tell the FBI not to investigate Watergate. But according to Dershowitz, that's a political precedent. The president can do whatever he or she wants. You can tell them to do what they want because you're the boss, and then you can pardon them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And he mentioned that George Bush Sr. had pardoned Caspar Weinberger after like a two-year investigation. Just pardoned him. And, you know, it sounds like House of Cards with Kevin Spacey.
A little shady, yeah.
But the point of it is, he could have. Well, I'm going to pardon him. Could have done that, right? Now, unless you say you will drop this or you will not do this, I mean, how do you prove obstruction? But Dershowitz even said you can even do that. And he said, you know, impeachment's a political thing. It's not a legal thing. There's no judicial review on the articles of impeachment. There is not. It's a political move. So if you bring up articles of impeachment in the Congress against the president, the courts aren't reviewing that. Yeah. That's a political. So you could, as Dershowitz said, and we'll play it later, you can impeach somebody for jaywalking if you want. You can impeach them for whatever you want. It doesn't have to be a crime in terms of a legal crime in the statutes or in the criminal code. It could just be, no, you don't do this. It's a standard. The Nixon standard. You can't obstruct justice. Now, the Trump lawyer, of course, said he was vindicated because he didn't obstruct justice. And he didn't order them to do anything. And the loyalty thing was just, nothing and yada, yada. So there's the legal side, and then there's the political. Here's Trump being called a liar several times by James Comey under oath. Well, I thought he might lie. The nature of the person, I thought he might lie. And then, of course, he says, well, no, I never asked him to go to dinner. I think Trump said in an interview, I think he called me once. I called him once. Comey said, no, I never called him. And one time, Comey said, I was having dinner with my wife planned that night, but I had to break the date to go have dinner with the president. Because the president said, do you have dinner tonight? What time? Whatever works for you, Mr. President. How about 6:30? Yeah, that'll be fine.
All right. Yeah.
And then one of the senators said, well, there's the ultimate excuse for breaking a date, right? And he goes, well, I like being with my wife. In fact, I wish I would have been with her that night. They all laughed. But, okay, so Comey didn't say anything to Trump when this happened and didn't report it to his bosses, because if it was a felony or if there's a crime, you think a crime is committed, you're obligated to report it up the chain. Comey said, no, I didn't want to. I'm going to keep it tight in case it came back later in the investigation. I didn't want to skew it, which is Latin for I don't trust Sessions. And he did admit that he told Sessions, the AG, you can't let me meet with the president by myself again. You've got to stand between me and the president. You can't let me alone with him again.
Alone, yeah.
And in effect, Sessions went, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? John McCain was into it, too, and he looked kind of old, I have to say. When I saw Sinatra in person, he looked old. He was old. And I was younger. So. But McCain said, what is it? Because Comey said, Trump said to him, we have this thing. The last time we met, we have this thing. McCain said, what do you mean by that? Comey said, I never thought to ask him. What thing? What thing? We'll come back and get your calls as well if you want. On the Comey testimony, first of all, today, on the Thursday edition of the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
At Troy Research, we understand that success is determined by your customers. To realize the greatest success possible, you need to understand what they want and why. Your customers have opinions to share with you. As researchers, our assignment is to gather those opinions, illuminate the issues, and shed the light of understanding on decision-making. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research at 608-271-8884 or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the major league record for the longest hitting streak in 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com, BucksPizzaMadison.com.
As life celebrations bring people together, you'll be comforted knowing we have community rooms available for those who wish to serve food and refreshments before, during, or after your gathering. This is Pete Gunderson. We're here to assist with every detail. Learn more at GundersonFH.com. Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, your hometown life celebration center. Gunderson Funeral Home.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
And we're still going to hear from Donald Trump's lawyer, from Alan Dershowitz, all kinds of stuff. But John Nichols, who remembers Watergate, who's written many books and columns and a legend with the Capital Times, also the Nation magazine. Hello, Mr. Nichols.
Hey, sir. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you here as well, and your voice being heard on Facebook Live as we go as well, and it's exciting. But,
well, I knew I wasn't just talking to you, Mitch.
Well, and maybe at least three or four people are listening. That's a
well,
good thing.
It would be a pleasure just to talk to you.
Well, that's very kind, but did you watch the, well, a stupid question. I trust you watched the hearing.
Absolutely. I was, you know, splitting my time between the British election, which may be the bigger news of the day.
Close on that, huh?
Yeah, it's turned out to be a very interesting result, and that'll shake the financial markets much more than anything that happens in the U.S.
By the way, before we go on, was it close, or was it going to be a runoff, or what's going on there?
In the British election?
Yeah.
Labor, the party of the left, ran way, way, way better than expected. It's gaining, looks like around, if the exit polls are right, maybe three dozen or more seats, so it's substantially increasing its position. The Tories, the conservatives who were the government, fell short of a majority. And so we're in one of those interesting situations where you're going to have to count the ballots tonight and see how it turns out.
Oh, well, that's
exciting. It's very interesting.
That is exciting.
And it's all about Brexit and all about, you know, the future of, you know, the global economy. So not to take us off Comey, but just to let people know there are other things
that's
happening.
That's right. So, but I'm wondering about Comey because and we'll get to the others involved here, but I thought it was interesting when Senator Warner said, well, why did you write things down with Trump as opposed to not doing it with Bush or Obama? And Comey said, the nature of the person. I thought he would lie. And it reinforced my thinking that Trump fired Comey after he saw Comey see on TV. It made me nauseous to think I might have affected the election.
It's an interesting point there, isn't it? Yeah.
I think Trump just went nuts at that moment and said he's out.
Doesn't like a guy who doesn't like him.
Well, that's right. Or thought that it was nauseating to think that he might have had a hand in Trump winning. Because I'm a kind of dysfunctional person myself from a family, and I've known other people who are, and I thought, well, Trump is going to go nuts on that comment. And I think that's what did it.
Well, it's possible. It's certainly within the realm of possibility. Now, where we get into the complexity here is this core question. If Comey disapproves of Trump. Does he disapprove of Trump, or was he nauseous because he feels he's, you know, like being pulled too much into the political process and maybe doesn't like Trump, but is also being forced to deal with, you know, things that they just want to? Or is it because of a genuine personal, like, I don't like this guy? Now, those are distinctions that matter because if you're genuinely, you know, kind of like passionately opposed to a guy, that's problematic. If you simply think that, you know, Donald Trump is not following the rules, Donald Trump does not, you know, respect the basic structures of government, checks and balances, things like that, that's a different game. And all of this is complex, but at the core of it, at the core of the hearing today, and what will be remembered, you know, 2 weeks from now, is not, you know, the sturm and drang about who liked who. It will be that Comey, I think, very effectively laid out the, not the rough outlines, but a pretty clear infrastructure for an argument that Trump is guilty of or engaged in, however you want to use the term, obstruction of justice. And that was clearly where Comey was directing his testimony.
Right. Because
he said Democratic questions were headed. it.
Well, he said he felt like it was a directive. But, of course, he said, Trump said, I hope. And one of the senators said, well, has anybody ever been indicted in your experience on I hope? And Comey said no. So,
well, you see, and that's where both the senator and Comey were wrong. Have you ever watched, have you ever watched a trial on racketeering or a RICO trial?
Boy, I don't think I have. I'm just on TV dramas. But
yeah, well, they're pretty accurate. They're almost always about, you know, what people think other people want to do.
Well, but good luck on that.
Yeah, all I'm telling you is, bottom line on this is...
Well, there's a follow-up to it, too, on that last point. Go ahead and finish your thought.
I was going to say, for a legal trial, it does, you got to prove it's hard. For impeachment...
Right, okay, go ahead.
Very different game, and an impeachment... If the great mass of people, remember, the Democrats aren't going to impeach Trump if people don't want Trump impeached. That's not how it works. It's a
political act. Yeah, I know.
But if the great mass of people believe that Trump really did game this thing, and if he does a couple other things that add to that, there's certainly enough there. What you've got on Trump now is pretty parallel to what they had on Nixon.
Well, but Nixon ordered the CIA to tell the FBI to back off, though. I mean, it's on tape. But the other thing is...
I'm with you. And by the way, just to note one thing, I wonder if that's why Comey said, Lordy, I sure hope
so. Oh, Lordy, yeah. Well, here's the other thing. Dershowitz was on. Of course, Dershowitz is liberally voted for Hillary, the whole thing. But he said that the president is the executive branch, and the president can tell FBI directors, AGs, what to do and who to investigate and not to, and that even if he would have commanded Comey to back off, he would have been within his constitutional right, and then he could have pardoned Flynn.
Well, let's parse that and start to get serious about it.
Well, that's what Alan said, and Alan,
he's a TV lawyer. here's the bottom line. The fact of the matter is that the executive branch extends beyond the president. And you are right that the president has tremendous power.
Well, he could fire Mueller if he wanted, right?
But let me just, this is the one thing that people like Mr. Dershowitz sometimes forget. Presidents don't appoint their cabinet. Presidents don't appoint the people who serve around them, even the assistant secretaries.
Well, they nominate them.
And they are approved by Congress. That approval by Congress, constitutionally defined, makes the executive branch a extension of the president, but one that also has responsibilities to the legislative branch.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But there's more to it than with all.
Oh, that's right. But he mentioned George Bush Senior pardoning Cap Weinberger, which angered Lawrence Walsh.
But that's a wholly different game. That's completely different. The power to pardon. Remember, the president has the power to pardon members of the executive branch. He also has the power to pardon a member of Congress.
Right.
Or pardon you.
Pardon anybody. Well, I hope he does, actually. But.
And so that has nothing to do. That's, again, Mr. Dershowitz may want to talk about
Well,
that.
Nobody
that
could, nothing, is the point.
But it has nothing to do with the power of the executive.
Well, Dershowitz is actually making the point that even if it was an attempt to obstruct, that he's within his powers to do that.
Oh, sure. So, well, he's not within his powers. I don't think he's within his powers to obstruct justice. I do not think
he claims the Nixon thing was political because, as he said, you can impeach somebody for jaywalking if you want. It's not subject to judicial review.
Right.
It's a political maneuver.
That's right. And I agree with Lawrence Tribe. Obviously, these are all legal debates, and they're deeply...
Fellow Harvard...
But I agree with Lawrence Tribe, with Jeffrey Toobin, with a host of other folks.
A student of Allen, yes.
Would argue that on this issue, Mr. Dershowitz is wrong.
I would simply say that I think, I'm shocked to hear him say that, but I would say that getting somebody on, I hope, all you got to say is, you will drop this. I mean, just drop it.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, and this is something that people really wrestle with this. I mean, my conservative friends used to be really concerned.
Well, it shouldn't be a conservative or liberal matter on this.
Well, it is, though, because my conservative friends used to worry all the time about relativism. And
uh-huh.
So about giving people participation trophies rather than having to actually
win the race. Yeah,
right. That's what they used to be, but now they've become these like snowflake conservatives. So they're like, oh yeah, but you can't really read.
No, but you can't understand, John, there's a difference between saying drop this and I hope you'll see your way to, you know, clearing.
I can tell you what it is. This is the thing. It's not. There's not a difference. If you know, you're looking at, oh wow, it can only be real if you dot every I and cross every T.
Well, good luck with 67.
It's real. As with anything in the law, it's real if the two people understand what they're talking about.
Well, all Trump has to say is, I didn't mean for him to stop it. Plus, you had Andy McCabe say they never stopped it. And
well, maybe Trump should swear go before Congress.
Yeah, well, he might, like Frank Underwood in House of Cards. But McCabe was under oath saying they never stopped it one bit. I thought it was telling when they asked Comey. It was Cornyn said, "Does this affect the investigation at all? The fact that you were fired." And Comey flinched and said, "Well, I'm biased." But earlier he said, "No, nobody's indispensable." Of course, it went on. Nothing.
Well, that's a key thing. But see, these things are not delinked, because what Comey was saying was one of the reasons he stayed on in the position, despite these incredibly troubling acts by Donald Trump, is because he's got this 10-year term. You're supposed to, the job of the head of the FBI
right.
is supposed to insulate investigations from political pressure.
I worked with the Attorney General for a year, and he didn't do any work on any of those cases. Comey did zero grunt work on that case.
No, but you're missing my point, Mitch.
Oh, go ahead.
My point is, the job of the head of the FBI is to insulate the investigations from politics.
Yeah.
Your job is not to do the investigation, it's to make sure that they...
No, I understand. I understand.
But I think that's what he was testifying.
But I think he also could say, as he said under oath, that the investigation continued and vigorously under his deputy. And there's enough wiggle room for the lawyers on this, John. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, this could be plenty. Look,
I mean, this is not a slam dunk deal.
Donald Trump is that this thing is necessarily going to catch Donald Trump and he's going to be, you know, frog marched out of the White House. I'm not saying that. We'll see where this
I have visions of Mrs. Pence trying to restrain her smile in the shadows of the cloakroom.
The only person smiling more would be Melania.
Well,
I don't think she likes that White House.
Yeah, well. We don't want to get into that, but open a can of worms on that, John. But hey, short tether. I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much. And John Nichols, read all of his books, The Nation, Capital Times, the whole thing. Appreciate it very much. Take care. Rachel Alexander with a different take than John coming up. And your calls as well. It's kind of a fun little thing, isn't it? The impeachment, the whole Comey thing. Maybe we're just geeks and the rest of people have wives. You have wives? I didn't watch that, Mitch. I had to work. Oh, well, work. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York. Especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. MadisonGeeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at madisongeeks.com.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
Mitch Hanks for Atterbury, Cameron, Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. How often do you take a case all the way to a jury trial?
What we do that's different from some firms is, when necessary, we take the case to trial. It's the ability to do that and a track record of doing that that gives you the leverage to get a fair settlement for the vast majority of your clients. There are lawyers out there who actually will not take them to trial. And it doesn't take the insurance industry, of course, very long to figure that out. So their leverage is minimal when trying to negotiate a settlement on the case. Whereas the lawyers at Atterbury, Cameron, Haig have all demonstrated an ability to take cases to trial. It's that track record that provides the leverage to get a fair settlement so that we don't have to take the cases to trial.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Back with more on the Comey excitement. I think I'm pretty sure Rachel Alexander of The Stream will have a different take than John Nichols of The Nation and Capital Times. Hello, Rachel.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the show, and I was just commenting when Senator Warner asked Comey, why did you write things down with Trump and not Obama and Bush? He goes, well, the nature of the person, I thought he might lie about our conversation. I mean, Jimmy, this kind of couples with his old, I felt nauseous, thinking I might have affected the election, which is what I think Trump heard and fired him on. But, I mean, you know, he's not winning points with the chief executive, is he?
No, but again, that was, you know, such a small part of his testimony. Like, that was one of the very few negative things he actually said about Trump.
But it just said he had no respect for, you know, the... You know,
well, he basically said multiple times, and he said this in his testimony that was leaked in advance multiple times, that he didn't like Trump and he tried to avoid him. And, you know, made him sound like an insubordinate employee who Trump had reason to fire him, really.
Well, I mean, there's this notion of independence, as you well know, and there's a 10-year term. But
he's not really independent. He kept saying over and over his testimony that it's an independent investigative agency at the FBI, but it's not 100% independent Trump can fire or hire the agency head.
Oh, I know he can. And on that point of obstruction, which I don't think they currently have enough to even prove obstruction, but Dershowitz pointed out that he could have commanded Comey to back off, and that would have been Trump's constitutional authority. And when Jeffrey Toobin said, well, that's what Nixon did to get impeached, and of course it was pointed out by Dershowitz, well, that was a political decision. You could impeach somebody for jaywalking, and it's not subject to judicial review by the courts. It's a political thing.
Yeah,
so,
the Nixon White House really did, you know, survey.
Well, obstruction was one of the articles. Well, there's use of power. There was, he audited enemies. They broke into the Brookings Institution. There was all kinds of stuff. But according to Dershowitz, Nixon would have had the authority to tell them what to do or even fire Archibald Cox within his powers.
And here's how I see it. You know, they're saying that Trump, you know, committed obstruction of justice because he really wanted Comey to stop some of these investigations. But the truth is, you know, when you have what you think is an out-of-control prosecutor who's going on a fishing expedition, and remember, I'm a former prosecutor myself, you, as their boss, you have the authority to shut them down, and that's what Trump thought. That's not obstruction of justice. That's a boss saying, look, dude, rein it in.
Well, that's right. I mean, but again, whether they prove obstruction or even argue the constitutional point that Trump would have had the authority under Article 2 to tell him what to do, I don't think at the first point they have enough for obstruction yet, personally. I mean, come on. I hope you'll see it clear to do this. I mean, when has Trump ever said to a subordinate, I hope, in his life? I mean, he probably said, do this, or get it done by tomorrow at 7 a.m., or whatever, you know.
But Comey admitted that Trump only, like, made the suggestion once to stop, you know, investigating Flynn. And they questioned him about that during the hearing, and Comey said, yeah, it was just a suggestion. It was only made once. And he said, Trump could have made it a directive to me. He could have said, you do this, and, you know, made it go through sessions, blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Right, right. He could have had subordinates, or he could have had other departments come to him and say, this has got to go away, yada, yada, right. That was the one of the lines of questioning that we saw. So, yeah, I don't think they have enough on obstruction myself. It's kind of thin. So they're trying to go after more, I'm sure. Though, I'm, you know, CNN thinks he's guilty already. He'll be impeached tonight. And MSNBC. But it shouldn't be this easy, is my point. But let's face it, when he said to him, I hope this goes away, and he told the others to go out of the room, I mean, Rachel, let's face it, he wanted it to go away. And that's what the president wanted. Right? I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Right, and it was going to go away because they've never come up with any evidence whatsoever that the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians to affect the election.
Well, that wasn't about that. It was about Comey. It was about Flynn. He said, I want this to go away.
Investigating Flynn, I mean, Comey stood up to Trump, and he, you know, wasn't going to shut down the investigation of investigating Flynn.
Well, he stood up to him.
He even admitted the investigation of Flynn would not have affected the investigation into whether the Russians...
Which I thought was kind of strange myself, because I thought Flynn was in the middle of the whole thing, you know? Because he said they touch, but they're not really related. Which
yeah,
I thought was
like,
strange.
Honestly, I just thought Comey's testimony was all over the board. And I thought that he was like, I am very, you know, firm about this opinion that I wasn't sure about this. I mean, he said.
Well,
so
first of
much
all, he could. They asked him why he didn't stand up and say to Trump in the White House, "That is inappropriate, Mr. President." And he said, "Well, good question, but I was just stunned and I was taking it in."
Yeah, I mean, he challenged Trump a few times. He did, and sometimes he'd back off. I mean, Comey was all over the board with Trump.
I don't remember hearing him challenge him very much. I mean, when did he challenge him? I didn't hear him challenge him.
Oh, yeah, like when Trump would say, stop this investigation, and Comey wouldn't say anything. You know, you need to be loyal to me, and Comey wouldn't say anything. But then he'd come back later and change his mind and say, I'll be honestly loyal to you.
I'll be home for Christmas. No, I'm kidding. But no, he didn't turn down his dinner invite. And he also didn't tell anybody else, you know, about this alleged article of impeachment of obstruction, because he said it was keeping his lid on it, keeping it tight. In case it leaked, it was kind of weird in that regard. But again, I didn't see enough for obstruction today. I just think it made Trump. I mean, Comey obviously said he thought he'd lie, and he lied about him, and he didn't invite him to dinner. Or no, he said Trump invited him to dinner, and Trump said on TV, Comey called him once. I mean, things like that. You know, just there's a narrative that says Trump is a slime ball, carnival barker. Hustling slime, and that's it. It appeared that Comey was of that belief, and so were all the Democratic senators, and maybe some of the Republicans privately think that. Didn't you get that vibe?
I did, except Comey didn't come out and quite list, you know, crimes or, you know, wrongful things that Trump did. He just insinuated. He's like, I feel like there's something wrong.
Oh no,
I
understand. Yeah, I agree. Well, it gets a state of mind, but I don't think you got enough on that to impeach, because Comey will be impeached in legal terms by Cassowitz, Mark Cassowitz, Trump's lawyer, right? So,
well, it's looking really bad because Comey admitted he leaked this memo of his conversation with Trump to the New York Times.
Or to his buddy who gave it to the New York Times, right?
He could be in trouble. Yeah, fake news there, but they're always retracting things at this point.
Well, you have to argue it was classified, right?
There's kind of an argument whether it was or wasn't classified. Trump's counsel tweeted or said that he believes it was classified, so he has committed a crime.
Well, I heard Trump's lawyer say it was privileged.
I heard privileged and classified. And Jay Sekulow immediately tweeted, Comey, now that he has said that, better get a criminal defense attorney now.
Really?
Yeah. He's a constitutional law expert, and he tweeted that.
Well, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
I know.
Comey did show that his feelings mattered a lot because he said, I was up in the night after that tweet about the tapes, and that's when he leaked the stuff. So, you know, he wants to be in the center of the action.
He is a weird dude, and if I had been one of the senators there, I would have asked him, who helped you draft your Senate testimony that you leaked in advance? Because...
Well, he's released it. He released his testimony.
Yes, he released it.
Well, hold on. I'll come right back in a moment. Your calls, too, at 210-1667. I can't help it. I'm a child of Watergate. I love this stuff. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do? Maybe you got a birthday coming up. You want to get the family together? Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. We book the best comics from Late Night, from Conan O'Brien, from Comedy Central.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Tim sold our new construction house in a matter of hours. And on top of that, we sold it above the asking price. That's a great testament to him. He priced it perfectly and talked about its features to a T.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
This is Kirk Dobinspeck, Badger hockey alum. I highly recommend Tim Rail.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
I'm back with Rachel Alexander from the stream, and your calls too at 210-1667, 210-1667. Okay, taking a loose definition here, Rachel, you're a former prosecutor. As you know, the impeachment process is not legal, it's political. I mean, not subjected to judicial review. They can do whatever they want. They can decide state of mind was this, and they both, you know, and just nail him. But the votes aren't there, presumably, right now. But it has nothing to do with the law, really, does it? I mean, it's not a legal thing.
Yeah, I mean, what they can impeach someone over can be, you know, the most ridiculous, stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's, you know, whatever they, however they want to define high crimes and misdemeanors. I mean, it's, it can be very vague. And it, like you just said, they don't have the votes because Republicans control both houses. And it's not very likely the Democrats are going to get in control of the House in 2018. So, you know, they can talk about impeachment all they want, but nothing's going
to
happen.
Well, if they did, they still go to the Senate for a conviction. They wouldn't have 67 votes. But again, I mean, it's all about the political landscape. But you would need more, in my mind, than just the obstruction they've got so far. If they could prove a quid pro quo, you know, they got somebody got some money in case, you know, in exchange for some favors, that kind of thing, you know.
If they're counting on Comey for the grounds for impeachment, there is no way. Like, I counted all the things he said, you know, during this hearing that exonerated Trump. And he dropped a lot of bombshells. I mean, I could list them off if you want to hear them, but...
Well, give me the top three.
Okay. Okay, and let me give you the context for the top three. You know, the two things the Democrats were trying to show was that there was Russian collusion with the Trump campaign and to fix the election, and two, that Comey was fired for a bad reason. Well, one of the... You know, top three is Comey admitted to Senator Feinstein that he's still not exactly sure why he was fired. Like, he sort of has some idea, but, you know.
Yeah, but of course he's not going to know exactly. He can't say he knows. He can't read President Trump's mind. He can only, you know, conjecture.
So he can't help them there with the obstruction of justice.
Plus, President Donald Trump said that in the interview with Lester Holt, that the Russia thing was part of it.
Yeah, like, and he, you know, he suspects that's part of it, but, you know, he won't confirm and give them an answer, you know, that they want. And, you know, secondly, as to the Russian collusion, there's a couple things there. One, he said that when he was asked, do you think that Trump was colluding with the Russians? He at first said, well, I can't talk about that. And then he qualified it and said, I don't mean to imply by my statement that Trump was colluding with the Russians.
Well, right. I mean, he can't give that away, right? That's, you know, part of the deal. You know, he can't cough up the ongoing investigation, even though there's no... Of course, you know, even if they had Carter Page or Paul Manafort, you know, meeting in the phone booth with the sack of cash, we would know about it for 2 years, right? You know, Mueller's investigation is going to go on forever.
And that's the way these special investigator, you know, third-party investigations are set up. They go on forever like fishing expeditions. Like, I really don't like the concept of doing it because I don't think there's enough evidence to show that it warrants a special investigator. And even liberal, Harvard law school professor Alan Dershowitz has said the same thing.
He doesn't
think that there's enough evidence to warrant a special prosecutor.
Hey, we played that soundbite. Oh, excuse me, Rachel. I think we have that soundbite. You want to hang tough for that? Hold on. Now, I think this is Anderson Cooper asking a question of Alan Dershowitz, and then Jeffrey Toobin, his former Harvard student, disagrees and comes in. It's pretty interesting. Hold on. Here we go.
You don't believe he was trying to influence or impede any possible or further investigation of Michael Flynn?
What I'm telling you is that even if he did want to impede it, and even if he did impede it, that is his constitutional power.
Right.
He has the right to say, you will not investigate Flynn. The best proof of that is he could have simply said to Comey, stop the investigation. I've just pardoned Flynn. It's over. My president, George Bush, he pardoned Weinberger when Weinberger could have easily pointed the finger back at Bush.
I want to get Jeffrey's take on your argument.
I mean, respectfully, I could not think Alan is more wrong. And the simple response is Watergate. I mean, under Alan's theory. Let me finish, Alan. Under your theory, the president, since the FBI works for the president, he can tell them to do anything they want. Well, in Watergate, the President Nixon and they conspired, they made an agreement to stop the FBI investigation of Watergate. Was that a constitutional authority? No, it was a crime.
Absolutely.
Several people went to jail, and the House Judiciary Committee voted to impeach President President Nixon over it. So, yes, he could have pardoned him, but he cannot obstruct justice.
Well, they're saying impeachment is different than...
Impeachment is political. That is, there is no judicial review of impeachment. You can impeach a president for jaywalking, and nobody can review that. I'm talking about, was there an obstruction of justice? I have to tell you, and I wonder if you would agree with me, Jeffrey, if you and I were called as expert witnesses in an impeachment trial of President Trump, and we were asked the question, has President Trump committed an obstruction of justice by pardoning Flynn, or by firing Comey, or by telling Comey not to investigate Flynn? My answer as an expert on the Constitution would be absolutely not. He didn't commit an obstruction of justice. Now, you, Congress, you can impeach him if you don't like what he did, if you think it's obstruction-ish, or it would be an obstruction if he wasn't the president, but you cannot say it's a crime. It's simply not a crime for the president to exercise his constitutional authority to pardon, to direct the FBI. It wasn't a crime when Thomas Jefferson directed the Attorney General what to do. It wasn't a crime when Lincoln did it. Well, it wasn't a crime.
That's good. Well, so Dershowitz makes the point that Nixon didn't commit a crime, that he was impeached for political reasons then. Because to be consistent, you would have to say that in the case of the obstruction count of article against Nixon, that he was within his powers to tell the CIA, to tell the FBI to back off.
Well, I'm no Harvard law professor. I don't know if I would go that far and agree with Dershowitz there, because I think wiretapping for political reasons, the Democratic Party was wrong. So I would distinguish those two circumstances. But I just like to point out that Comey admitted that stopping the Flynn investigation would not have impaired the Russian investigation.
Well, that's what McCabe said under oath, too.
So, for Trump to tell him, okay, stop the Flynn investigation, and Comey admitted as well that Flynn, he pretty much said in general terms what Flynn did not violate any laws. It was,
he said it was separate than the other as well. They said they touched, but they were parallel.
Yeah, and when he was asked if an FBI agent, had talked to a Russian ambassador, political person, does that necessarily violate the law? And Flynn said, no, it doesn't. And so Flynn is basically admitting the reason.
Well, I mean, come on.
Comey's admitting the reason Flynn was fired was because of what Trump said. He was fired because he lied to Mike Pence.
He lied to Mike Pence. Of course, the Flynn people say they told the transition on January 6th about the contract with Turkey. So either Pence missed that, or he's lying, so we'll see about that down the road, or that maybe Flynn's people are lying about that. So, I mean, I can't imagine.
Yeah, sad story, but the point is what Flynn did not rise to the level of an FBI investigation. That's where I think Trump was completely in his right to just say to Comey, just back off.
I think Trump, if it push came to shove, don't you think Trump will either have another hour-long news conference, or B, pull a Frank Underwood and come testify? I know Trump.
That guy is so unpredictable, and he's so out of the box. He is not a Washington politician. He could totally do that, or we could just see it all come out in his tweets.
Well, they had him not tweet today, though, and he didn't say a word. His lawyer did the speaking today, though.
I noticed he didn't tweet either, but again, I mean, his schedule, who knows what's going on there.
Well, come on, they had this jerry-rigged event. We understand how that works. Rachel, thank you. What's the website again?
Go to stream.org to follow me, and you can also follow me on Twitter at @Rach_IC.
Okay, and Rachel, or the stream.org, very good. Thank you so much, Rachel Alexander. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mitch. I appreciate it. God bless. Bye.
Thank you. Hey, do we have time for the lawyer real quick? Here's Trump's lawyer. I wish you could see him, by the way. He's got he's got the weird hair. Oh, it's 5 minutes? Oh, I wouldn't play all 5 minutes, but we only have 3 minutes left. Okay. Well, let's play a little bit. I'll just get a little fix of the Trump lawyer, Mark Kasowitz. Here we go.
Mr. Comey also admitted that there is no evidence that a single vote changed as a result of any Russian interference. Mr. Comey's testimony also makes clear that the president never sought to impede the investigation into attempted Russian interference in the 2016 election. And in fact, according to Mr. Comey, the president told Mr. Comey, quote, it would be good to find out, close quote, in that investigation, if there was, quote, some satellite associates of his who did something wrong, close quote. And he, President Trump, did not exclude anyone from that statement. Consistent with that statement, the president never, in form or substance, directed or suggested that Mr. Comey stop investigating anyone, including the president never suggested that Mr. Comey, quote, let Flynn go, close quote. As the president publicly stated the next day, he did say to Mr. Comey, quote, General Flynn is a good guy. He has been through a lot, close quote. And also, quote, asked how General Flynn is doing, close quote. Admiral Rogers testified today that the president never, quote, directed him to do anything illegal, immoral, unethical, or inappropriate, close quote, and never.
Well, that's what Flynn, or no, I'm sorry, Rogers and Dan Coats said the day before, but they didn't answer the question, were you asked to look the other way? So this is, you know, we're in the weeds, and I'll get off this. Getting back to our lives, there's a fight about education and what to do with private schools and private vouchers and school choice, and it's just, fighting words on both sides. We'll come back with somebody who I think is advocating for more of that, from the Thomas Fordham Institute, Brandon Wright. Let's get a little debate going on that. Coming up on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.